Hey, 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 what's going on, Podcast Nation? It's Jason Harris here, and thank you for joining me on another episode of The Dry. Today, I have an amazing friend, a good friend. I have Alan with Fuse Auto. Alan, thank you so much for coming and taking the time to jam with me.
This is awesome. I'm in... a podcast mobile for the first time in my life.
Maybe that's what we should call this podcast. Alan, by the way, is so good at coming up with names for segments. We'll call this the podcast mobile. Right. Well, Alan, thanks for taking the time to come chat with me today. And, you know, I really wanted to get a chance to, you know, to talk to you about kind of the cool stuff that you guys have been doing at Fuse Auto Tech. You know, I've been just a fan, you know, from afar for a while. And I've just always appreciate your guys' approach to that people, the process, and the technology. But for everybody out there watching and listening who don't really know what Fuse Auto Tech is all about, let's kind of start off with the origin story or the aha moment where it's like, hey, that was the problem and we sought out to fix it.
So maybe I'll start with Walser Automotive Group, who to this day remains a minority investor in our company. And that's really our laboratory. That's where the product was born. And here was the genesis of the idea. They, this is 10, 15 years ago, started to understand that dealerships look the same, the cars are the same, everybody pays the same price for them. Salespeople, maybe we can train them to be better, maybe we can recruit better. The only thing that can really be different is the customer experience.
Yes.
And so when they started to look at what customers are really complaining about, it boils down to many times we have a customer who has spent maybe a dozen hours online researching, all kinds of wonderful resources there. They get to the store, they meet somebody nice who can answer their questions, show them a car, take them for a test drive. And now we come to the fun part where the customer finally makes up their mind. And sometimes there can be some anxiety here.
Of course.
You know, we're spending $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000. And they say yes. And the salesperson says, yeah, I'm going to need you to fill this out and then wait in the lounge, drink some of the coffee we made earlier today, yes. And we'll be with you shortly.
Well, today you're lucky. No, I'm just kidding.
And so the problem, of course, are the legacy systems. You know, depending on the dealership, it's 5, 6, 7 different logins to sell a car.
Well, and they weren't just necessarily designed that way. You know, I mean, the legacy systems were designed for a sales process,
right?
Not a buying process. Right. Sorry. Anyways, go ahead. Go with this.
No, you're absolutely right, Jason. And so what we've built is a point of sale system for dealerships. And what that means is that all of those legacy systems are integrated into one screen. So to make this as simple as I can, you can sell a car in an hour, 1 hour on one screen. Now, a lot of this is customer facing. Doesn't have to be, but it can be. Because what we understand, what we think we understand based on having a laboratory that has 40 stores is that customers are really looking for three key things. One, they want payment and price transparency.
Yes.
Because they get just show it everywhere else. They get it everywhere else.
Yeah, I don't mind paying for it, just show it to me.
Number two, they want respect for their time. And there's really two facets to that. While as a shopper, I'm making up my mind, I'm deciding whether I want to spend the money on what the model is, I want you to go at my pace. When I say yes, I want you to go very quickly because I want to show that new car off. I want to go drive it.
I want to control the throttle. I want to be able to slow down, speed up, right?
That's right. And then the third thing is that shoppers want some control in the process. Said another way, people don't want the process done to them. They want to be part of the process.
100%.
And that's why we make the point of sale system something that can be customer facing so that they can see what's going on. They can make some selections rather than just waiting for somebody to march back from the sales desk with a piece of paper.
Exactly.
So point of sale system, that's what we make.
Well, I love that. I love the fact that you have this amazing Petri dish, right? You know, so, you know, like, I think there's a lot of, let's call them tech solutions out there that weren't necessarily born or originated from real operational understanding, you know? And so tell me a little bit about the history of just kind of like, you know, this wasn't just, hey, technology rolls in and we know how to do this. So here, hold my beer and I'm going to show you how to do it. You know, like this comes from some real deep operational understanding and how to better the experience.
Yeah, that's right. As you've heard many times, software is hard. And so the way this came about for us is that, you know, being inside of a dealership group with 20 some franchises, you get a really good sense of what the pain points are every day. And although I'm a fan of digital retail, it's digital, but nobody's actually retailing cars online.
That's good. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that's a rabbit hole I do want to go down. You know, I think me and you have discussed digital retailing a few times, right? You know, but you know, let's talk about kind of, let's just face it. It is what it is. No one retailed online.
That's right. And maybe so a small percentage. It's lead generation by any other name.
Sure.
It can be an awesome lead.
Yeah.
A customer with
very qualified.
Address.
Yes.
I got a car. I've got an estimated payment. In a small percentage of the case, I'm going to get a credit app. That's an awesome lead.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's buying a car completely on home. We're not selling cars like we sell paper towels on Amazon. And it turns out that while people want that transparency, most people, when they're spending $80,000, want to touch it and drive it.
Yeah.
And so we see the transaction happening a little differently, maybe than some others. Let me be semi-controversial.
Let's do it.
If you were a software engineer and not a car dude, you'd go, let's do e-commerce for cars. We can be Amazon.
Yeah, we'll just drop ship them the vehicle.
Right. So far in the history of digital retail, that hasn't worked once.
Nope.
Without a person. So I would maintain that still today, it does take a person to sell a car.
I'm 100% with you. It is still a people. It is very much so a people's game.
So now we've got a software engineer. God love them. We've got a bunch of them in our company. If you didn't know anything about the car business, that's where you might start.
Yes.
If you owned 40 dealerships, you'd say, that ain't a problem. The problem is I've got people waiting 3 hours to give me money. And you look at every other retail segment.
That's a good point.
What they have figured out is how to use a point of sale system to manage inventory, pricing, customer process, compliance, and they've figured out a way to take money fast.
Yes.
And customers actually like that.
And it's as fast as the customer wants it. That's the best part.
Like, when I say yes, get me out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Take my money, do my financing, whatever it might be, but get me out of here. So that's where our focus is. And we work with any digital retail. We work with any lead, any customer that a dealership can get into their CRM. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is we eliminate that 3-hour car sale with a point of sale system.
Well, you're creating a process for them, right? So that lead comes in and immediately that process starts to kick in, right? You know, and I can start at home. Maybe I fill out a credit application. Maybe I inquire about leasing or maybe some financing options. And I come in better educated. Because maybe it's the Boy Scout in me, all right? But I don't like walking into a store not knowing what I'm going to get. Now, you know, I might break it down. I'm thinking just recently I just bought an audio system for my home theater, right? Okay. You know, and I didn't just walk in and say, show me what you got. You know, I did my little research. I narrowed it down to that 2 or 3. And then I went into the store and I was able to touch and feel, you know. But then to your point, once I was ready, I was like, that's the one.
Wrap it up. Let's go.
Exactly. That was the expectation. I want to go home. I want to get it installed. Let's go. You know, and you know, we're not doing this for the sake of doing this. You guys aren't just doing it for the sake of doing it. This is the customer's expectation now.
Here's an important point. You mentioned customer expectation. Customers don't compare only the dealership experience from one dealership to another.
No, they're
comparing that retail experience to every other retail experience. So why can I go and spend $500 at Nordstrom and have this lovely customer experience?
Absolutely.
And spend $50,000 at a dealership on a Saturday afternoon, which in too many dealerships comes as a surprise. Here we are, 50 years in business. Hey, it's Saturday afternoon. We're a little backed up. How did that happen?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's the lack of automation. So can we tell audio jokes?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I've got the greatest audio system story.
Looking forward to it.
I live in a small town in Montana, Bozeman, Montana. My son lives there too. We have a good friend who operates the only stereo store in Bozeman, Montana. And it's a high-end store.
Of course.
And around Bozeman, Montana, we get celebrities that buy ranches.
Ah, so they want to do them up big.
So Michael Keaton, who apparently doesn't know much about audio systems, walks into this store and he asks the owner, he says, I'm here, I want a system for my home. Do you sell Bose? And the guy says, you know, I don't sell Bose equipment, but I've got all the best. I've got Macintosh, I've got Luxor. You know, we can build you a beautiful system. Michael Keaton listens, but he won't get off it. He says, but you don't sell Bose, right? The guy says no, and he starts to go through it again. And finally, Michael Keaton says, well, isn't Bose the best? And the guy says, is Val Kilmer the best Batman? He did sell him a stereo.
Okay, that day. I was going to say,
Okay, back to the car business.
Okay, so it's an awesome one, by the way. I can actually just picture it in my head. So I'm just laughing.
Are you the best, is Val Kilmer the best Batman?
I'm a Val Kilmer Batman fan. I am. I know that might, everyone's going to hate on me, but I am. But no, I mean, like, let's, you know, it's funny because you bring up Batman, right? And I always kind of think of just, you know, everything always just looks so easy, right? And, you know, why is this so easy? Because Batman's got a gadget for every effing situation.
Yeah, Batman has a process.
He's got a process.
He's got the technology.
He's got a utility belt. It's right. It's literally all there. And, you know, I'm making this correlation here because this is kind of what it feels like to me when I get the right piece of technology and I get it into the right person's hand. All right. And they're able to do some amazing things. They're able to kind of create an amazing experience, right? Because they have the right tool for the right process, for the right moment. And I know how much that impacts the experience. I mean, look, the experience is never a big thing, because if it was a big thing, we'd do something about it, right? Like, it was like, you know, there's no parking. Okay, well, we should probably fix that, because if people are going to come to our dealership, they need a place to park, you know? But, like, it's the little things that always make up a big experience. And I would like to kind of talk to you a little bit about the little things and how you think we can kind of improve on those little things.
I think you're absolutely right. It are all of those tiny details that lead to surprise and delight.
Yes.
And let me take just a simple thing that happens every day in a car dealership. Customer asks, how much would that car be per month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. If you have X credit and Y down payment, I'm going to go to the desk and my sales manager will get a payment. You bring that back and the customer says, okay, well, it's a little more than I thought, but I understand. What bank is that? Well, that's one of our leading lenders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a bad answer. So with a point of sale system.
Does it feel transparent at all, does it?
No, it sounds a little.
It's a leading lender. So is that Tony? Is Tony with a bat?
So
is he my lender?
Is this a real payment or what are we doing here? So with a point of sale system like Fuse Transact, what the customer sees are payments with bank logos next to them. Where trust starts to be built. So if you see Toyota Financial Services, the payment is X, you see Ally Bank, that's payment huge. Is X, you start to say, okay, I'm understanding how this works, and I'll judge whether those are leading lenders or not, or whether I trust them. And this is a very common shopping experience. If I'm going to take my family to Disney World, I would go to Priceline or Expedia.
Sure.
And they're going to show me all the hotels.
Every single
by
one.
Brand name with a price. So this little bit of transparency that says, aha, I recognize those logos. Got it. It looks like whoever it might be, Ally Bank has a more advantageous rate. Thank you. If you're looking at the point of sale system and I then adjust the credit rating or the down payment, then the monthly payment changes before my very eyes. As a consumer, I'm going, I believe that. I believe the technology, and I believe the technology more than whoever it was you went to talk to when you left the desk to talk to your manager.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that desk process, because I always get a good kick out of this, right? You know, I'm just like, you know, the fact that we still have people come in, fill out a worksheet. They take this worksheet. It goes into a mystical sales manager's office. Right? We have absolutely no idea what the hell actually goes on behind that office. We all know in the industry, there's usually some jokes that are being cracked and a few other key important things, right? Then you come back with a handwritten payment.
Yeah, and not every time, but it's still being done.
It's still being done quite. Yes, you're right. There's great operators there, but I'm still seeing handwritten payments on a very regular basis, and we're expected to convince the customer that is the best payment you're going to this chicken scratch that my sales manager just wrote on this piece of paper for you is the best thing that you're going to get. I mean, just talk about a little things, how much more of an enhanced experience what you just described is compared to what I just described. I can see what Toyota's price is. I can see what Ally's price is. I can see what Capital One's is. I can see what Bank of America or whatever other lender I guess I'm working with, you know, that is all there and fully transparent. The cool thing is the dealership's not producing the payment now.
That's right.
Right?
That's a mind shift. From the banks.
Yes.
I'm probably not going to argue too much with U.S. Bank. I believe they know the math.
I've been banking with them for a really long time. I mean, if that's what they're saying the rates are, I guess that's what the rates are.
I might want to argue with a sales manager 100%. Who's handwritten a quote for me. Now, let me go a step further and talk about job roles.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken sales managers who got promoted to sales managers because they were great with customers. They knew sales process backwards and forward. They were leaders and exemplary performers. Now we've got them doing math for a living. I would maintain that machines are better at math. And if we can free that sales manager up from behind the desk to do some coaching, to meet some customers, to help put together car deals, that's a more important use of their time than to watch them on a Saturday afternoon where they're backed up. They've got three or four salespeople deep. Yes. They're trying to get quotes out. And by the way, they can't look at as many bank programs in an hour as we can look at in 10 seconds.
Automation can do a lot more.
Can do
faster.
That a lot better. Yes. So I think it does start to unlock some value with these great employees that understand customer relations. They understand persuasion. Yep. They understand how to care for a guest that's in their store. Mm-hmm. Let's get them back on the floor.
Let's get them back on the
floor. They're good there. They're really good there.
And focusing on enhancing that experience. Well, keeping on the path of little things, you'd mentioned that as an option, I know every dealership has to do it, but this doesn't have to be done behind a door or in an office. This can be done on the floor in front of someone.
Yeah, so I'm gonna talk about what I see as kind of the current business models. And our point of sale system, Fuse Transact, will work for any business model. But let's mm-hmm. kind of break those up. And I'll use some euphemisms here. You know, we might have, say, a dealer that's an innovator. And they would have the most radical processes. So this is one price, no negotiation, maybe single point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really small group. Now, obviously, automation like ours would work really well for
100%.
Them. But let's take the broad part of the market and who I would call the explorers. And so this is a dealer who still has a traditional finance office, but they're moving towards the future. They're focused on customer experience. They're focused on compressing the time. And so point of sale system could be used first by the manager,
yep.
who then sends the quote to the salesperson, mm-hmm. who can show it on a tablet or a computer. We can finish the sale in the finance office, again, using the same screen. So it's not single point of contact, it's single screen as you move through the store.
Well, and I think that's cool that you guys decided to do that because, you know, there's still a lot of evolution in our industry. And then there's still people that, you know, believe. So it's cool that you guys have built a piece of technology that's versatile to the dealership's process. You're not coming out and defining that process as much as like, hey, we're going to work within your process, but we're at the core of it, we're still going to stay customer centric to the experience, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Customer, I'm looking at the one screen. Now, three people might be involved, but I'm looking at the one screen.
Right. I'm not being moved from system to system to system. And so
wildly new experience.
Fine. You know, let's have three different experts. Uh-huh. Let's have a manager explain how financing and credit works. Let's have a salesperson demonstrate the vehicle. Uh-huh. And then let's have a finance manager show them the protection products. But we're going to keep them all on that screen. We're going to compress the time. And then I think for that dealer who's kind of an explorer, they can start to experiment and they can say, since everything is configured by the dealer, the profitability, et cetera, maybe I could just have the salesperson show the first payment.
Yes.
Maybe I don't have to go to the manager because manager's looking at the same screen. Number's not going to change. So therefore, we start to build trust. We start to compress the time. And then from there, we decide, how do we handle F&I? How do we handle signatures? Now, one of the features of our product is that once you start, you don't stop till you're done signing. So you're on that same single screen,
yep,
going through payments, going through credit, going through protection products with a column menu, and then you're signing your name on that screen. So it's a real trust builder.
And I like the fact that you brought up the credit portion of it because, you know, again, little things, all these little things, right? You guys have created a credit presentation.
Yeah.
You know, not the way, like, you're not selling a payment, all right? You've created a custom tailored credit presentation to the individual that is there based on them, all right? Right. Not based on some gap between here and here, and this is where we think you're going to be, and then whether you'll end up going to the actual F&I office, fill out the credit application. But wait a second. I guess your credit score wasn't really what we thought it was. Now it's going to be $17 more a month. And you know what I mean? Like you guys have created this beautiful credit presentation.
Well, I think, you know, we have to give customers credit for their intelligence, mm-hmm, and we have to respect them. If you show them all of these facts about credits, payments, interest rates in a transparent manner, you're using bank logos, most people understand this.
Yeah.
They're willing to accept that if my credit's not what I hoped it would be, the interest rate might change.
Yeah.
And we can just show them, we can trust them, and in return, they're gonna trust us, and that's how we increase sales. It's how we increase profitability.
Well, it's this one screen experience creates this trust. Exactly. It's transparent. You know, it's I can see, you know, as I'm adding things, if I'm purchasing accessories or if I decide to get additional warranties, you guys have all this preloaded in there, correct?
Right. And so that's, again, we go back to details, but understanding that, and for instance, putting E-rated F&I products in there. So whatever vehicle you pick, every one of these products is priced on a monthly basis to the penny.
Yes.
So that I select a warranty, if that's going to be $27 more, we see that immediately.
It's there.
Yeah. And so again, software's hard. And we're very proud of, you know, the accuracy of the payments, the accuracy when we start adding aftermarket products to the payment as well.
I did want to, and you know, as we're talking, I was listening, and I did want to go down one more rabbit hole kind of with you. We would touch a little bit on it, but I want to go back to it real quick. You know, the difference between digital retailing and a POS. You know, I think that a lot of dealers out there watching and listening right now have kind of fundamentally understand, you know, the concept of digital retailing.
Sure.
It's
we do it every day.
We do it every day. We, yeah, you know, we really, and before it was really even a thing, we still really kind of did it. It was just more of a process, not a piece of technology. But, you know, I think you guys have kind of, I don't know if is the POS an evolution to digital retailing, or is it kind of its second cousin?
Well, I mean, they're of course related. The way that we think about digital retail is that right now it is a lead generator.
Yes.
Okay. And it's a good lead generator, but let's go down the rabbit hole.
Sure. Let's do it.
So for most dealers, it's lead gen, not demand gen. And it's one of the things that can be frustrating about buying a car is that every piece of useful information on a dealer's website is behind a lead gate.
Yes. 100%. Okay.
And so when we look at website analytics, we see the number of people that spin off. They go, yes, I'd like to personalize my payment. Oh, you need my name, address, and email?
Doop, 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 doop.
No, yep. Not today.
Yep.
And that's a shame. So this is the continuation of a long line of lead gen techniques. The one right before this was get your e-price.
I was going to say,
because I don't dare reveal our price. I don't dare reveal our price online until I get your name.
Okay. But I remember that, though. I mean, like, there, I remember watching dealerships put that button on their website and leads double in the first 30 days. Anyways, go ahead.
So I was a marketing manager for a dealer group during that era. I can tell you, you can double leads. I can also tell you it has no effect on your market share. Okay. It doesn't sell you more cars in itself. And so that's what we always have to be looking at. What is it that we're doing that'll increase our share of market? Mm-hmm. If it's just a lead gen game, give away the free dinner at Red Lobster. We can get some leads.
I still see that sometimes.
Well, I still see that. But so to answer your question, so we have digital retail, which is primarily a customer engagement tool.
Yes.
It has some really important information because typically most people get to the dealer's website maybe with a car or a type of car in mind. And as they get more serious about buying, they need this one question answered. Will this fit in my monthly budget? When I go home and talk to the family, talk to my partner.
Am I looking at the right vehicle or do I need to look at something else?
Is it 500? Is it 900 a month?
Exactly.
And so super important information in that buying journey. Now, when we get to the store, something else happens. And I would make the point that as we look at other leading retailers that are both online and in store, outside of the car business, there is not one of them that uses their online system to transact in store.
It's true.
Because we have a different customer in a different environment in the car business trying to do a different thing. And so that's why we've created a point of sale system that streamlines the in-store process as opposed to trying to get them to use digital retail. The problem is that when you start with digital retail and try to complete the transaction in store, you're missing a few things, like integration to the DMS, for instance.
Kind of a biggie.
Yeah. And so that's been our focus, is how do we create transparency and trust? How do we compress this 3-hour car sale? And how do we optimize the process in the location where 95% of sales are made?
Yes.
They're made in the store.
100%.
Now, I'm going to go a step further here and talk to you about another concept that's really important to us that we are introducing at NADA, and that's called remote retail. Remote retail is different than digital retail.
I like
As
this.
I said before, we believe it always takes a person to sell a car.
100%.
You can't sell a car hands-free.
I have person, not seen it they done. They need that process and they need that technology.
But there needs to be some explanation. Yes. And if you don't believe me, take a close look at Carvana. Selling 250,000 cars a year, theoretically online.
Mm-hmm.
You look behind that, there's 4 or 5 hours of phone calls. You also look behind that and you'll see that every Carvana delivery driver is a notary public and they have a file full of papers when they deliver the car. That's not online retailing.
No.
Okay, so let's talk about remote retailing. We think that what happens many times is we have customers that come in the store, look at a car, test drive, they get a quote, they get some payments. And because the payment is more than they thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. interest rates have gone up, they say, I need to think about it. We don't close everybody on the first trip.
Of course we don't.
Oftentimes we call them, they call us, and they say, we've thought about it and we'd like to move ahead.
Yes.
So we have the ability with our point of sale system to securely send them remotely both credit application and approval, as well as all the documents, so they can sign at home. And so there's a lot of people that say, this is just what I need. I wanted to talk to an expert. I wanted to drive the car.
Yep, I wanted to touch it, I wanted to feel it.
I don't
yep.
want to sit around all day signing papers. So if I could sign those papers at home and then come in, take delivery.
I'm good with the car, I'm good with the payment. This is...
Yeah, and so we think remote retail, and we're piloting this over the last 6 months in several retailers.
Huge.
And customers love this. It gives them
Absolutely.
The best of everything. You have a beautiful website that allowed me to select a car. When I was in the store, you quoted me in a transparent manner. And now I can buy and complete the sale wherever I am, home or office or in the store.
Exactly.
And I'm going to be a broken record, all from the same screen that they've been looking at.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because, you know, other verticals do this. I love the fact, you know, sometimes, like, I love our automotive industry. Sometimes we're kind of like, hey, wait a sec. This is how I bought my last house. This is the exact same process. I didn't, you know, I did my shopping.
Right.
All right.
You probably looked at the house that you're going to buy.
I did. I went and looked and smelled it, touched it, the whole thing. All right. You know, but when it came to saying, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do that one, right? Remote access to the documents, sign all the documents, remote access to whatever additional information that I needed, you know, legally, everything. It was just, and so, other vertical, this is just what I'm saying is that this is what the customer's expectation is. If I can buy $500,000 house or $100,000 house this way, why can't I buy my car this way? And I love the fact that you guys, and you're 100% right, remote retail.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. It's remote retail.
Yeah. And I think that with the way most customers are shopping, yes, they do want a hybrid experience. So, fine, go to the website, use any of the payment estimators.
Yeah.
We know that most of the time that payment will change when you get to the store for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, most dealers don't post their transaction price online. Mm-hmm. There is a lower price in store. And number two, we don't know always credit exactly. So customers go to the store to verify a couple of things. Is it the vehicle I want? And number two, I know that when I get to the store, I'm going to get the accurate payment. I'm going to understand my credit rating better.
Yes.
And then, fine, if you want to buy in the store, we'd love to have you take delivery today.
If you want to go have lunch and have a little chat about it, it's a big investment.
Or if you decide you need to go home, think about it. We'll send you the documents remotely and we'll wrap this up. And your next in-store experience is 15 or 20 minutes of delivery and fun excitement.
That is just so empowering to the customer. I really think it is so empowering. It's so customer-centric. It's so empowering. Look, Alan, this has been a great conversation. I know we can currently keep going on this, but we're getting towards the tail end here. And, you know, for all the dealers that are out there watching and listening to us, you know, have this conversation and they want to learn more and connect with you guys, what is the best way to do so?
Well, I guess fuseautotech.com would be a good place to start. I'm happy to talk to anybody. I'm Alan@fuseautotech.com. Email me. And I'd love to talk to you about modern retail, about process, mm-hmm. about automation, and about Fuse.
And shoes.
And shoes.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, everyone, for watching this episode. We really appreciate it. You guys have an amazing day. Thank you, Alan. This was so much fun, man.
Thanks, Jason. Great.